keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, know through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, know through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams.
Welcome to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, this is your host, S.M. Gibson. Before I get into introducing everybody else here tonight, I want to say a few words just about kind of everything that's going on in the world. When you do this for a living, you get used to some of the bad things. You hear so many horrible things all the time from cops killing people, beating people, to the wars, to the victims of wars. And you kind of get a little, like your emotions become callous to it. But ever so often, it kind of catches up with you, and you just get so frustrated and so sick of the world in general that, to me, we're living in a world where people defend the indefensible. We have torture going on that's being committed by this country, and people defend it. They excuse it. Well, this person did this. Well, that person did this. We have people being shot down by cops who are unarmed for holding a spoon for possibly selling a loose cigarette. That's okay because that's okay. It just makes absolutely no sense. People need to wake up and stop excusing this absolute insanity that's going on in front of them. You cannot keep justifying all these horrible things that are happening in the world. They are absolutely horrendous. I made a point to someone earlier today. If Eric Garner was selling a cigarette and somebody came up to him that was not a cop and said, "You know what? You're breaking the law." And he put a chokehold on him and he killed him. Would that person have gone to jail? You better believe that he would have. But because somebody's wearing a uniform, they excuse it. That's the problem. The problem are the people that they keep letting, they just excuse everything. You've got the people on the media telling you, but it's okay because they're your authority figure. The only authority figure in your life is you and whatever you believe in. It's not some person wearing a uniform, whether it's a military uniform or whether it's a police uniform. It is up to us to make a change in the world. We have to stop bowing down and excusing the sins that are happening right in front of us. I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host, Dedrick Young.
Dedrick Young. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Also joining the studio tonight by our good friend, Shannon Madden.
What's going on, people?
All right, Dedrick.
Man, I know you had to get...
Got a little wound up there.
Yeah, but there's a lot going on, guys.
I'm just sick of it all. Did you see the report today about how in the Iraqi prison, they were raping children in front of their mothers?
And videotaping it.
Videotaping it. A video. And here's the scary part. This all came out in 2004. This isn't some late breaking news. With the report that has just come out, though, they still haven't released all the information. And people are just excusing it. They're just excusing it. It's vile, evil, horrible stuff.
Well, and if you correlate that with the current, well, and you can't really say current rash, the ongoing rash of police violence, and where are these police officers coming from? They're all military trained. At least the police officers, the newer police officers that are on the force that I've seen now, all military trained. We see anecdotes of this happening in 2004. They come back home, get jobs as policemen, and now what are we seeing in 2014?
Well, you probably have 40% of them that's like reserve,
yeah,
military. But we are seeing that a high influx of the military coming
back.
Well,
what I'm saying, though, is the police officers, the new police officers.
What happened to not having a standing army on U.S. soil?
We do, and they all have badges and batons now.
You better believe it.
Absolutely right. Go back and look at the Patriot Act.
And it seems like they're doing the same thing.
That set that up.
Yeah, and it really, to me, it seems like these guys are coming back and doing the things that were partaking in the actions that were going on in Iraq, or, you know, all the stuff, killing people, just shooting them.
Right.
Shooting them down, you know, like.
Right.
Just show us, buddy, what you guys really were doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's no telling. You know, I believe something happened to a percentage of the troops over there that I believe they were experimented on in some capacity, whether it be through medications that messed them up in the head. I don't know what was going on.
Well, just...
There's too many people coming back completely screwed up, way worse than they used to.
Yeah, but...
War is horrible.
Yeah, but war
and it will
horrible.
Mess you up.
Yeah, yes. You know, I had some friends that, you know, went to war and came back.
But why would you turn somebody that's been psychologically affected by war onto the unsuspecting American public?
Yes.
The people that are bread and butter, but to be the backbone of America.
They're coming over, and they're asking these people, will you fire on U.S. citizens? That's come out in a Homeland Security report. They're asking them, will they fire on U.S. citizens?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, that's where we're at.
You know, the thing is that when they ask that question, there is no wrong answer. that's the worst part about that dialogue.
I guess you kind of have a point, but I think there is a wrong answer. You know,
oh, I know that there's a wrong answer, but at the same time, as far as military is concerned, you either go into, and we covered this last time that I spoke with y'all on air, that you're putting either Group A or Group B.
Right.
And Group A or Group B, nobody gets a better reward or this, that, and the other. It's just Group A is willing to go that extra mile to help America remain number one.
But everything in the world is so divided. You know, everybody thinks that whatever you're talking about, everything is about division in the entire world. It's not a United States problem. It's a global problem. Because in the United States, they divide us by saying, you're Republican, or you're Democrat, or you're white, or you're black.
Or you're from the South, or you're from the North. Yeah.
Everything's about division in this country. They don't want people to realize that when they come together, things can and will change.
That's absolutely right.
They have to keep people at each other's throats, and it goes globally. Because, look, We have people over the border in Mexico. We have people in the border in Canada to a lesser degree. They can more come and go as they please. But those are a different class of people than you, is what they want you to think. Mm-hmm. We're all human beings because somebody was born on a piece of land a few miles away from a border, they're a lesser class of citizen.
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane. That kind of ties into what's going on with Cuba right now.
Yeah, let's go take a trip to Havana, man. Come on. We're able to go now. We can legally go to Havana. That's awesome.
Well, not yet.
Cuban cigars, man. There. Come on. It's going to be great. Bye-bye.
But, okay, look at Cuba. And there's people that are upset about that. They're upset that they're lifting restrictions and want to build an embassy. They're not going to actually be able to build the embassy until Congress approves it. They're not going to actually be able to lift the embargo until Congress approves it. But they're moving in the right direction.
Of course.
And it should have happened a long time ago. Because it's a... All it does, and everybody's like, well, it hurts Cuba. It hurts Cuba. You know, they should be hurt. Because Fidel Castro got with Khrushchev back in the day. It's like, you know what? That was... Khrushchev's been dead for years. And I get Fidel Castro's still alive. But you know what? A lot of American, the CIA, and a lot of different presidents tried to assassinate that man. You know, he's not a good man, but, you know, he outlived them.
Yeah.
Outlived every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just the whole Cuba thing. And then just,
we're all humans. Yeah. The people suffer in Cuba. They think the government's hurting, but it's not the government hurting. It's the people.
Yes.
That's why this needs to be over with.
And again, you know, and I hate to play devil's advocate here, but, you know, how many people did Fidel Castro kill versus the people that George Bush and Dick Cheney killed? The people that the current administration is killing right
and
now?
And here's the argument you're going to hear on TV. Castro was killing his own people.
Yeah.
Bush and Cheney, more specifically, I think Cheney, was just killing people indiscriminately around
no.
the world. But that's overseas. Yeah. We don't
you
have
like
to
that
see
hunting
that.
Accident, right?
Castro's bad because it was his own people. We're okay with you killing your own people.
Yeah.
That's just whatever. But listen to this. What if Castro would have killed... Started going over into Mexico, just hypothetically, what would they have done? What would their reaction have been?
You're talking about the United States?
Yes, reaction? What would the United States' reaction
oh,
be?
I think we would be a lot friendlier with Cuba right now. I mean, no, definitely.
what I'm saying, though,
that would
is,
have exacerbated and solved the immigration
what I'm saying
problem
is they would have
the
just
brand.
Leveled Cuba.
Yeah.
But when we do it, it's okay.
Yeah, Cuba, I think that we should have a relationship with them at like 92 miles.
Yes, no. It's 90 miles from Florida, yeah. But the people suffer. That's the thing nobody gets. There's human lives down there that suffer because we're saying, knock this block off our shoulder, knock the chip off our shoulder, cross this line.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And just a lot with the Cuba issue. And
it's ego.
Yes, but also it's like other things that's going on, like the things with, you know, she was just Asada Shakur. You know, she is the first female ever to be put on the FBI's most wanted list. And Fidel Castro...
It's Tupac's godmother, by the way.
Yeah, gave her a solemn. And now, you know, we're waiting to see if she going to have... Are they going to extradite her back to the United States to face these charges?
Yeah, give us some backstory on her real quick.
Well, she was born in New York, I think around in 47 or 44. And... she was convicted in 77 for a crime of killing a state trooper, a Jersey.
She got pulled over, and she was with some other Panthers, right? She was a Black Panther, by the way, for people that don't know.
And she was also shot in the gun battle. But the trooper, James Hopper, lost his life that day. And in 79, she broke out of prison, basically to sum everything up, and went to Cuba. Where... Like in 19...
She became an activist.
Yeah, she was an activist, and she'd do a lot of like things in the community, teach at schools, and she's alive and walking around in Cuba, like free. You know, now with all these things that's going on, that was on the table. You know, they got $2 million on their head.
But so. Wait, but TV told me that there is no freedom in Cuba.
Yeah, but you know, and a lot of the other incidents and the crimes that were related, or they say that she was... incidents that happened were like murder, attempted murder, armed robbery, robbing banks. But in 1988, Asada started referring herself to as the 20th century escaped slave from America. You know, so we're going to see how this all play out. And
now, do you think they try to extradite her? Even more importantly, if they
wrote letters to the Pope trying to get her extradited.
Here's a question.
It's been 40 years.
Wait a minute. You can't skim over that.
Yeah.
They wrote letters to the Pope to try to get her extradited?
Yes, because she has an asylum, you know, in Cuba.
Yeah. What's the Pope going to do about that?
I mean, he does stuff.
They really want to back.
Waves the big magic Pope wand.
But here's a question for you. If any callers want to call in and address this question, I would love to hear. You can call in at area code 718-717-8296. Here's the question. If they extradite her with the first black president of the United States, not only that, someone that was very good friends with members of the Weathered Underground, which were extremely related to what the Panthers were doing at the time. Does that just end any street cred the man ever had whatsoever? Not that he really has any now, but that's got to be the nail in the coffin.
You know, she's been wanted since 73, you know. And it was like, it's been 40 years. So, we will see. Will they, you know,
do you think she should be extradited? She did kill a cop.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. You know, they say
well,
she killed a cop. You know,
somebody killed a cop.
It was her and another Panther that were arrested, and one Panther, Shakur, also died on the scene. Another Panther was killed also. So it was a gun battle.
Right,
you know, but she was convicted, and another guy was convicted also, but... So she was also shot.
Right.
You know, so.
It wasn't like just a cold blooded murder.
You think she would have had a fair trial.
No.
Well,
absolutely
that,
not. Well, that being said, though, Bernadine Dorn, they got off. Phil Ayers got off. They're walking around the streets right now in the United States, and they bombed the Capitol building.
Well, and
now, nobody got killed.
You bring up a good point, too, because we're also talking about a gun battle. Did she have a gun in her hand?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about 40 years after the fact. I think she'd probably get even, I don't think for a second that she would have got a fair trial back in, what did you say, 1973?
I don't think she'd get a fair trial today.
Oh,
look,
no.
Look,
hell no.
77.
Okay.
She was convicted in 77. She broke out of prison in 79.
Yeah.
You know, but none of us were there that night. None of us will actually know what happened. Mm-hmm. We know that there's a Panther dead on the ground, there's a cop dead on the ground, and there's another person that has a bullet wound. She goes to prison, for killing the cop. How did they think the other person got killed?
Well, they also said that the cop was shot at point-blank range.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe he was. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know what the real forensics say, because you know how that goes. They can make, especially in 77. I say especially in 77. We got videotape of a guy getting choked out with his hands up in the air. So yeah. What does 77 have to do with anything?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
It's 1984. That's about all I know. That's about the only date that I even recognize anymore. I
understand.
But, so good for her for getting out, I guess. I mean, I'm not advocating the murder of anyone at all, but.
It's been 40 years. I want to see how this is going to really play out with all the police brutality going on, the protesting going on, the injustice in America. You know, so we're going to see what we bring it back. You know, and what you think will happen on the grounds of all the things that's going
on. There is the very skeptical side of me that believes they'll extradite her.
Yeah.
I think if they do it, Obama's finished. Now, he won't be finished to the people on TV. It won't be finished to the mainstream people. And I say he's finished. The people that really get what's going on.
If he do it on his watch. If it happens on his watch.
Here's the thing, though. I say he's finished. It's like, look, the people that really would understand the significance of this would be, you know, Dr. West and the like. They're already done with him anyway. So, it'd be a nail in the coffin of a dead man, I guess, politically.
If it happens under his watch, it probably is like political suicide.
Yeah, well, I don't think he has much left for him anyway.
But
it's definitely not going to be points in the basket for him.
Yeah, it won't.
Yeah.
You know, but he did talk about, you know, the release of the sanctions and the relationships with Cuba and, you know.
I think he's right. You know what?
You know,
I'll say this. So many things. I am definitely not a fan of Barack Obama. I agree with him on this move. I think he's doing the right thing. And I applaud him for it.
But with this being thrown in on the back end of it, it's like...
Absolutely.
Again, it's like we were talking earlier, and it's just like you're in this long-standing feud with your next-door neighbor for many years, and the two of y'all are pissed off at each other to great lengths, to no end. And then all of a sudden, one day he comes over, bakes you a cake, y'all have a nice conversation.
But you got to remember, one of the neighbors is living in a mansion and the other neighbor's living in a tent.
Exactly. And the neighbor in the mansion looks over the neighbor in the tent and says, oh yeah, by the way, you got a lawnmower I can borrow real quick before the conversation's completely over with. It is a really the timing of this is very, very cheesy. Because, again, you know, if she's walking the streets free in Cuba, that's great. Cuba's not that big.
I definitely think this is bigger than Tupac's godmother.
She's been an activist. She's been involved. Okay? She's been, you know,
public. Nothing's probably going to happen. I think Obama's got better wisdom. Well, forgive me. But I don't think he'll do it. I don't think he'll let it be done.
Well, it's $2 million. The reward is $2 million.
He's got enough blood money. He's got enough blood money, I think.
$2 million is...
The Nobel Peace Prize president that bombed seven countries, I'm sure he'll be all right.
You get $1 million for the Nobel Peace Prize, don't you?
Yeah, well, you get a lot more for bombing seven countries. Just ask Dick Cheney.
Yeah, you did.
Halliburton. But,
yeah.
I applaud it. I see where this is, where I think this is going, and this is something, if they do, then you know what? As much as I applaud the decision to open up relations with Cuba, I think completely lift the embargo. I will not agree if they turn around and start giving Cuba money.
Did you see what Rubio said today?
Rubio is so against it.
And also John McCain.
Everybody's against it. You know, the only Republican I have heard come out and be like, this is a good idea, is Rand Paul. Every single other one of them's like, this is the worst idea ever, America. We got a flag. What, them people. They don't even know how this started. They probably never heard of Che Guevara. They probably don't really know how the revolution started with
crisis.
Oh, yeah, with Kennedy. Well, that was some serious stuff. And that goes back to Khrushchev and Russia and Beta Pigs and, you know.
Again, it sounds so grand and majestic, but at the same time, you're really looking at a bunch of spoiled people, regardless of whether it was Khrushchev or whether it was Castro and the situation that Kennedy got put in. You basically had a very just massive ego trip.
No, that's all it was. Because let's not forget, before Castro took over, there was a lot of United States dollars going to Cuba.
Havana.
Oh, yes, there was a lot. There was gambling going on. There was a lot of money going through there. And guess what? It all dried up like that.
Yeah.
Because Castro got in charge.
And thrust them into a third world
It did. And, you know, that's the thing. This is the thing, I think this goes back to how I started the show tonight. People cannot get through their heads that there's two sides and they can both be wrong. And it goes back to the divisions I was talking about earlier, the Republicans, the Democrats, the blacks and the white. Guess what? Black people can be wrong. White people can be wrong. Republicans can be wrong. Democrats can be wrong. Well, everybody can be wrong.
Some white folks be wrong at the same moment.
Everybody can be wrong about some different things, but everybody focuses on stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's like people say we should open up. So you love Castro. You think Castro's a great guy. No. You know what? You can say Castro has hurt his people. And at the same time, you can say the United States has done wrong, too. you know, there's a lot of gray area in the world, and everybody wants to see everything in black and white, A and B, this is right, this is wrong. No, there's just a lot of bad people in charge because they're the ones who are power hungry to get in charge. It's very, very rare you get somebody on a mass level. You'll get one or two. There's a few in Congress right now. But you get a mass, we really want to help people. You don't get that. You get people that go, I want power. And I will do anything I have to do to get that power. And that happens in Cuba. That happens in the United States. It happens around the world. That's what we're dealing with. And that's what people can't get through their head.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the great thing, too, is when is the best time to do the right thing?
Right now.
Right now. And yes. That's exactly what Castro and Obama's doing. And I applaud them both for reaching
out. Well, we're dealing with Fidel's brother now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know. Fidel's going to live forever.
Well, you know him and Keith Richards, I tell you what.
Yeah. Probably got the same doctor.
They must. Ladies and gentlemen, you still are listening to the Anti-Media Radio. If you want to call in and join us, you can. Please do at 718-717-8296. That is area code 718-717-8296.
And what about all this stuff going on in Pakistan, man?
It's just so much. It's just so much to take in. Like, I hadn't even been able to get my head around everything that's going on over there.
Yeah, it's like hundreds of kids shot. You know,
it was 140, I believe.
Yeah, and it's just a lot, man. And I think we like spread ourselves real thin.
You know? With the military,
well, just being involved with all this that we created, and
ding, 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 ding. That's the problem, and that goes back to the Cuba thing.
And
with
that
me.
Was the right way. That's the right way to put it. The problem that we, the United States, create.
Listen, that goes back to Cuba. Because here's what I was saying: the one problem I am going to have is if they give Cuba money. You know why? Because we're giving money to every country around the world, and it needs to stop. We don't need to be adding people to that list. I'm all about free trade with Cuba. Don't give them money, and stop giving everybody money. They don't need it. Even Israel. Guess what? Israel can protect themselves. You know, they have their own money. Everybody, bring the troops home from 120 bases around the world, stick them in this country. Obama was on TV the other day saying that 90% of the troops are home. Oh, my gosh. Does he think I do crystal meth or something and I'm just don't understand how the world works?
Well, I mean, again, 90% of the troops from where are home?
Right. Well, he's saying from, yeah, exactly.
Not from around the world.
Yeah,
now.
Because 90%
of real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, this was also kind of strange to me, and I saw, like, Putin press conference.
Yeah,
lasted
the ruble.
Three
it's done.
Hours.
His question and answer called the United States war. Well,
he's not a warmonger.
He's not a warmonger. He did insinuate we were, though. But I did like his, I get our currency just crashed.
We're going to be okay.
That's
It'll
not my
okay.
fault. Yeah. I had nothing to do with that. I know I've been in charge for a really long time.
But the thing is, the thing about Putin, he has, like, the young people there, truly, they love him.
Yeah. Well, he's done a lot.
Well, the youth camps and the education camps and so on and so forth.
He's given them more prosperity. They're able to go out and shop and go to the mall and, you know, they're getting luxuries.
You'll need a few more rubles these days to go to the mall.
Right. Well, they just had shopping spree, was it Wednesday, Tuesday? They had a big shopping spree this week over there when it started plummeting. People just tearing it up.
They was going out just buying things.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of,
well,
it's weird. It's really weird just seeing, like, and I imagine, hey, what would happen if our leadership or our president held a 3-hour press conference?
He don't have the balls to do it.
No, dude, they will not let him. I'm talking like, hey, you don't have enough. You got to have commercial. Look, think about it. You know, commercials got to air. You know, they have slots to fill. There's money to be made. You know.
Like, oh yeah. Well, I don't think you know, he has the balls to do it. I don't think he has, and I know everybody's going to be upset. Maybe they won't. I don't care. I don't think he has the speaking ability to do it. He's great at speaking when he's reading. Watch him in a debate. He stutters over his stuff. George W. Bush wasn't going to do it. He stuttered whether he was reading or answering. The last person that could actually complete a sentence on their own talking was Bill Clinton. Good God, did he do it?
He's a smooth talker.
He is a C-something. He has the smoothest talker ever. I would have
took my clothes off for that, man. I'm a straight man. Come on now.
Yeah, he was something. He was the biggest snake of all of them, probably.
Don't make you feel good.
He'd make you feel good when he was doing it.
And so they're all snakes, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I guess that's what we have now.
No, we've had that since.
But, and guess what? People are like, hey, are they still protesting? Yes, people are still protesting.
Absolutely. You know? Here in Birmingham, Alabama, tomorrow, on Highway 280, which doesn't mean much to our listeners, it's basically Talladega Speedway, except in the middle of town. And
super upper middle class suburbia.
And it's insane. They're going to shut it down tomorrow. They're going to shut down 280. And we'll see how that goes, because here's the thing that's sickening. Again, reference back to the beginning of this show. It just makes me infuriated, is that there's already people been like, get in front of the road and we will flatten you like pancakes. It's like, so wait a second. We live in a world where these people are upset at injustices. That people are not only, they're upset because it's not that cops went to trial and were innocent. It's that cops are just like, oh, don't worry about it. You don't even have to come to court. We're not even going to indict you for anything. I killed a guy, misdemeanor. No, nothing. Don't worry about it. Manslaughter, nothing. You're okay. You're good to go. So people are standing up is the most American thing they can do in protest. You know what? The road was paid for with your tax dollars. If they want to shut it down in protest, they can do that. And then people are like, we are going to run these people over. Because what? They're upset that someone was killed? So you're going to kill someone? That's your response? More death with death. Well, it doesn't make sense.
And at the heart of this,
that is definitely
protest,
the theme today. Wake up!
This is a very interesting protest in the fact that this isn't something that's happening in the ghettos or in the slum part of town or the poor part of town.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually taking the protest to the people that are giving the protesters so much backlash and so much support for these renegade, violent cops out there. Well, you people need to go ahead and just calm down, because these cops have a very hard job and they're under a lot of stress.
Did you hear this
week,
by the way?
If you would just lay down, and these cops will take care of you, and they're here to protect you. Now, and that's why the protest is going to this area of town. And in Birmingham, Alabama, I think that's very important. I think that's a brilliant move.
I really do, too.
Because you're not just taking the protest to where the problem occurs. You're taking the protest to the people that are actually the opposition.
Yeah, and I think that they're also having in the food court at the Gallup Grill, they also staging a
big mall. It's the biggest mall in the Southeast. Yeah. May still be, even including Atlanta.
Indoor mall, yeah, you're probably right.
Well, they will lay out and
we'll look that up.
They're going to lay out and do a die-in there. Yeah. I don't think there'll be a problem with that. I think it's going to be 280 was going to be an issue. Stat that came out this week, I found it absolutely fascinating. Speaking of cops, did you realize that the profession of being a police officer is not in the top 10 most dangerous jobs in America, but the profession with the most obese people by percentage is being a police officer. In the United States of America, the fattest people working are cops.
Dunkin' Donuts represent.
That doesn't help the stereotypes of cops eating donuts, for sure.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, they're just fat and killing people. It's not even that dangerous, apparently.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of things, and I think just on from the last couple of weeks and all the, like, the news that we have been seeing or getting and the activity from the protesters and
Which are huge. People need to keep that up.
Keep it up, because you won't see these things going on because they like swearing our attention to all these, you know, the Cuban things, the Pakistan things,
the torture report is as much as I'm with.
Like, they're still retesting in Brazil.
Right.
Shoot, like, it's still a war going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's, don't be fooled. It's still like, you know.
Oh, wait, listen. If it doesn't happen within these borders of basically 48 states, because nobody cares about Hawaii or Alaska. Unless it happens in these borders, nobody cares.
Well, you know they care about Alaska, man.
Come they on. Don't. They could care less.
But, you know, I think that we'll be seeing a lot more in the next couple of weeks. It'll be back up again. Hopefully, like, they don't run Ebola crisis again. But they
I
say
saw
that,
a stat today. They're kind of ramping it back up. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen, because, you know, they'll get something new. They're good at that.
The doctor is going back to Liberia.
I know.
To assist and volunteer.
Oh, goodness.
You know, so I guess we just, like,
alive
went through this cycle.
And well, in Miami, Florida.
Well, and yeah, we're always going to go through a cycle, particularly, you know, when it comes to any kind of disaster or despair.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a SARS. There's always going to be an Ebola. There's always going to be an AIDS. There's always going to be...
They were promoting the flu's becoming an epidemic now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that there'll be... the breast cancer is pink ribbons. What is that going to be, a green ribbon, the flu? Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Right, we need to start that, man. That's where we can make our
yeah. You know what? The Susan Coleman lady, the lady that started the whole pink ribbon, she's just a thief. That is just, she's like, but I'm about awareness. So she takes all the money and puts it in her pocket.
Well, I'm all about flu awareness. I'm about to
there you
patient,
go. Because,
man.
I mean, that's what she does. She's not helping cure breast cancer. She's about awareness of breast cancer.
Well, I'm all about awareness of the flu.
We get it. Breast cancer.
Breast
cancer exists. Right. So should we do that? Should we just start a non-profit to say people shouldn't stub their toe? That's not stub your toe month. That'd be a huge distraction for the government. We can make money.
I'm down with that. Yeah.
Well, we have to say that, you know, that one threw me off. Like,
a stub toe, what color ribbon will that be?
Black and blue? Are
yeah,
you kidding?
Yeah.
Duh.
Black and blue.
Yeah.
That's like the thin blue line.
Yeah.
Well, how about we have cops kill people awareness month?
Yeah, I think that should be every month.
That's the truth.
Yeah, but with also like a lot of news breaking in North South Carolina today with the George Finney Jr.
Oh, yesterday, and it was yesterday, right?
Hey, there's some strange stuff going on.
So, for anybody that hadn't heard about this, I'm gonna let Dedrick tell you a little bit about it. But let me go ahead and kind of just run my mouth for a second. There's a 14-year-old kid. He supposedly kills these. Okay, let me take that back. There's a 14-year-old black kid in the 40s.
Yes.
He supposedly kills an 11-year-old white girl.
Yes, an 8-year-old.
And an 8-year-old white girl.
Yes.
Correct.
And what happened was that Stinney Jr. and his sister was walking down train tracks in South Carolina, and they was passed by two teenagers, two white teenagers, one that was 11 and one that was 8. They were sisters. And they were asked. They was asking, like, for flowers. And hours later...
Who asked who for the flowers?
Well, the two...
two little girls?
Yeah, two little girls asked Stinney and his sister about where could they find these, like, flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they was the last ones to see these two little white girls, right? So, Finney was immediately arrested.
So, clearly, everybody was on the wrong side Stinney. Of the train tracks that day.
Yes, right? He was immediately arrested. Dad fired from his job. Family ran out of town. You know,
they were afraid they were going to be lynched.
Yes, right. So
that's the way it was back then.
But the craziest thing about it is that his trial only lasted 2 hours, and not just that, he was like incarcerated for 81 days before he received, you know, the electric chair.
This 14-year-old kid went to the electric chair. A 14-year-old in this very same country, this very moral country that doesn't do anything
1944. 1944.
14-year-old to the electric chair.
Okay. And so just now, it took 70 years for a judge to throw the case out.
So wait, he didn't do it. Are you telling me?
No, there was no weapon found, right, for one. No witnesses, anything.
The justice system didn't do. Wait, I thought the justice system was perfect.
Yeah, and it was like lack of evidence. The judge just went through it and like, well, what is this? And threw it out. Threw it out yesterday, actually.
Well, I mean, you know, the good news is I'm sure he's relieved that he's off. Oh, wait a minute, he's dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we don't get things wrong in this country. So, you know what? When you see Derek Garland trial and there's like, well, he shouldn't have been indicted because, Darren Wilson, he shouldn't have been indicted because, you know what? Those are anomalies. You're right. They shouldn't have been indicted. This stuff, we have the perfect justice system. It's perfect. Everything's right. Look, America's better than everybody. And the justice system is wonderful.
So,
and everybody's lesser than us because we're American.
Yeah, so we have to say that this just haven't started, you know?
It's been going on since the beginning of time.
Yes.
But luckily now the communication is what it is. We finally get to hear all about it.
Yes.
And again, think about all of what we've heard. Imagine what else is out there that we haven't heard about that's been underreported, swept under the rug. And we're talking about what's going on now, not 10 years
and
ago.
And I know it doesn't mean
back
much
in the 40s, whatever,
to him.
I'm talking about what's going on right now, this very moment.
I know it doesn't mean much to poor George Stinney that lost his life at 14 years old by the state. I remind you, the state killed him.
Yeah.
But you know what? At least there was some sort of vindication through history.
2 hours it took them to convict him.
Yeah. How many more George Stinneys are there out there?
I think plenty more.
I guarantee you there's
a lot. And I think all these cases, a lot of things are starting to come out nowadays. And, hey, a lot of things can't be hidden now, you know. But, you know, and it was a big thing about, oh, Sony, you know, oh, you know, delete, terrorists, you know. I'm like, dude, not just that. You have more cracking news coming out of South Carolina.
Lennon Lacy. That is a horrible story. We mentioned a moment ago about being lynched back in the day. Back in the day, you could be lynched for that sort of thing. Well, this is 2014, and from what I understand, Mr. Lacy, who was in a 17-year-old African-American fellow, involved in a relationship with a 31-year-old white woman in North Carolina, had been warned and kind of told about her from her neighbors that that wasn't a good idea, that wasn't really a proper relationship to be in, and so on and so forth. And fast forward to the end of their relationship, and he is found hanging from a swing set. And this was the oddest part of it. It was originally ruled a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm sure that if you turn on any of the headline news right now, you'll see all these other salacious, you know, details about it. But the weird part about it is here's a kid who is involved in football. Now, I don't know, you know, I personally wasn't involved in athletics when I was in high school, but I had a lot of friends of mine that were. And the friends of mine that were involved in athletics were very regimented people, very happy. They had very goal-oriented, wanted to go on to college, wanted to not only because of their athletics, but their athletics and the discipline that they achieved from those athletics opened new avenues and new ways of thinking about how they were going to manage the rest of their life. Here is a young fellow, all the promise in the world, was found hanging from a swing set with, and this is the oddest part about it, with a pair of shoes that were a size and a half too small. Mm. He was wearing Jordans, the one that he was last seen by any person alive. He was wearing a pair of Jordans that he had just acquired.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found him hanging from the swing set, there were some, you know, nondescript white tennis shoes that were a size and a half too small. The family is very, very adamant about the fact that they believe he was lynched. And quite frankly, when you corroborate the girlfriend's story, now, look, I'm not here to judge anybody. 17-year-old young man dating a 32-year-old woman of any color is kind of a little suspect anyways. Women are going to look to... Most people will look at the woman, you know, kind of funny about that. But we're talking about the Deep South, and we are broadcasting from Birmingham, Alabama, and all three of us in this room understand what that is in the South. And of course, it's, to pardon my friends, a big old pile of horse shit. But it is what it is. And regardless of whoever, and I may step out on limb, some people may agree with me or not agree with me. I think if two consenting adults, which 17 years old, depending on what state and municipality, is legal. I mean,
16 in Alabama.
It is. And it is younger here in the South, but a young man who's in a consenting relationship with any person who he chooses, whether it be male or female, white, black, Chinese, Mexican, paraplegic, whatever the case may be, two people love each other, get to hang. That's just the way it is. I mean, you can read that in a good book if that's your inclination. And here we have now the FBI has finally gotten involved. Because this apparently is not a new case. This has been dragging on for several months now. And the family has done everything that they could to discredit the police. Oh, there they are again. At the root of all of our troubles. The police instantly ruled it a suicide because...
I believe them. Why would they lie? The police would never lie.
To make their job a whole lot easier.
They would never lie. Trust the police.
I don't know about that.
Breathe easy, ladies and gentlemen.
I would normally trust the police in nearly every other situation, but something's a little fishy on this one.
Yeah, something is fishy on that.
No, the police never lie. They've gotten everything right. Every judge, we're Americans. That's what they tell us, right? I said the Pledge of Allegiance today and, looked at a flag.
Yeah.
I looked at a flag. So that makes things right.
Yeah, you probably held it.
We should probably find a new country to bomb. Just over this.
That's the American way.
It is.
I really think that's the way.
I think we need to bomb a country.
We're not in it with.
How dare people question cops? Let's bomb a country.
Cuba's off the list, so we can't bomb them anymore. We got.
Oh, we'll get them. Oh, we'll get them. Don't you worry.
SM, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the cost of freedom?
I don't know how much these bombs cost that we were talking about.
No, I think that's a fantastic question. I do think the founding of this country kind of was more what it actually should be. I mean, you had people, because I just think if the United States colonies at the time would not have won the war. Okay, they would have been considered this terrorist faction that took over from the empire, from the British Empire. And that's all they would have been, this terrorist uprising, this faction. We had a war, we'd put them down. That's how it would always be remembered. I do think it takes people standing up for something they completely believe in. And we're not talking about, it's really, at this point, it's anything. It's somebody standing up and saying what they believe in. Whether it's staying in the street, whether it's talking to their neighbor, whether it's a post on Facebook. There's people on Facebook that will unfriend somebody because of something they typed. It's all about people waking up and getting over their egos. And I think people have to, I think freedom, the price of freedom is sacrifice. You have to sacrifice something. Because if you don't, your children are not going to have freedom. You know, whether you agree with the movements in the 60s or not, that, people sacrificed. People went to the streets over Vietnam. People in the streets over the first Iraq War, the second Iraq War, it built up.
Waving their little flags and we're going to go.
But that's the problem. You had both.
We originally started.
You had both sides.
Yeah.
But we're bombing countries, and here's the problem too, is because it's not reported on the media, they don't either A, know it, and if they are told it, they don't believe it because they think, oh, if we were doing that, it'd be on TV. Well, no, it wouldn't. That's why it's called, in the famous words of the comedian Eddie Griffin, television programming. You are being programmed. People need to wake up, sacrifice something for freedom. They have to. Otherwise, you're already living in an oligarchy. You're going to be living in your worst nightmare. Everybody's so scared of, oh, the communists. Where do you think you're living? If 1984 by Orwell was originally written about Russia, go read the book. Go read it and tell me we're not living there today.
That was a template for the way that the American government has done business for the past,
you better believe,
60, 70 years
you
now
better
in
believe
particular.
It. Oh, yeah, and it's just ramped up, especially with Patriot Act and the NSA, Homeland Security. It is 1984, and people aren't willing to sacrifice for that. So people staying in the streets tomorrow at 280, that's a sacrifice. That's scary because there's people threatening to run them over.
And there will be people out there standing in the middle of the road expecting to get run.
And that's like, and that's like eight lanes of traffic. That's not.
That's the sacrifice that makes change.
It absolutely is.
Yes.
It takes. There's always going to be a little bit of fear deep down in your belly, but it's swallowing that fear, standing up for what you believe in, and standing up for what you believe in.
That's right. And being involved.
Absolutely.
You know, sitting on the couch talking about things that should happen and not getting up off the couch and getting active and sacrificing.
Absolutely.
Or watching Fox News for an hour a day, and that's pretty much all the information that you're going to glean. Or on the other side of that, watching MSNBC or CNN all day long or headline news, and that's pretty much the only source of your news. Get out there and investigate all these sources. Investigate all these stories. Read the story behind the story and get the bigger picture.
You can literally show someone documents. The story today about the soldiers raping children
in front of their mother.
There's documents. The documents
and videotape. There's videotape of this somewhere.
There's pictures. Listen, I do not suggest doing this, but if you think it doesn't exist, just go type in Iraq prisoners rape U.S. soldiers. Google it. Don't blame me because I'm telling you not to do it, but it will horrify you. Absolutely horrify you. And you will just say to yourself, what is going on? I mean,
I know it's like,
yeah,
it's really horrifying that,
yeah, we just let it happen.
But what I'm trying to really like think about is all of this at one time.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely, everything's ramping up to a point.
It's like, it's chaos in the streets.
We're
in
ramping
America,
up to something.
You know,
I don't know what that something is.
We're ramping up, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to like, what is this leading to? You know, a couple of shows back, I asked a question, it's like, what's next?
Right. You know, I think right now nobody really knows what's next. We know something's next. For me personally, you know, and I can even say for me personally, I just hope that it's nonviolent. I hope wherever it goes next, it's nonviolent. It stays nonviolent. You know, you had the few looters in Ferguson, but other than that, you had a few looters in Oakland.
Oh yeah, but we have looters, but no one talks about the guys that
the real protesters.
The protesters that's like, hey, don't like blocking the store, standing
right.
The
who's
store,
being so violent? The people shooting tear gas, which you're not even allowed to by the Geneva Convention to shoot at ISIS. That's against international law, but you can shoot it at some protester in the street in Missouri. So I hope and pray the protesters stay peaceful. That being said, I hope they grow in mass. I hope they grow by the millions. Take to the streets. Take back what is yours.
Yeah, be involved. You know, let your voice be heard. You know, stay peaceful. It's still going
freedom
on.
Freedom is yours to lose,
yes.
And freedom is yours to take.
Yes,
every generation.
Ask yourself the question, you know, what is the cost of freedom to you? You know, what are you willing to do? You know, so
if you're not willing to stand up for it, you're not worthy to have it.
And look, at the bare minimum, even if you can't get involved to that level, because let's be realistic, everybody has lives. There are certain things that and obligations that we have to take care of. At least be educated and be informed. Go out there and instead of getting all of the news stories regurgitated to you in these little 30 and 45 second sound bites, read the whole entire story. Go back, the whole transcript. And
who's going to read 6,000 pages of that torture report?
Well, and
they're going to listen.
You don't
to
have to. Hey, trust me, you don't have to read all 6,000 pages. All you have to do is skim back and forth, and you're going to find some very hair-raising little details that were completely left out that will probably be reported on this program here in the next month or so. Go out and get an education right now. Everybody's walking around with these smartphones in their pockets. You have the answer to every single question in your pocket, and most folks just play Angry Birds on it.
Right.
Go out and get informed. Learn about this stuff we're talking about because this is real.
People put so much – and listen, there's so many great organizations out there – Anti-Media Free Thought Project, but you know what? Don't depend on just us. Don't depend on other sites. Depend on your own research. Because what's happening, look at WikiLeaks. They put out documents. Is anybody going there and reading that?
Yeah, nobody
knows. They're not.
Anymore.
They're waiting for somebody to read it for them and then write it down in two paragraphs and then get their interpretation. Now, if it's Fox doing those two paragraphs, you're going to get a completely different interpretation if it's anti-media doing
those two paragraphs,
okay? So, don't believe us, don't believe Fox, don't believe CNN. Read it for yourself. Because if you can't trust yourself, you can't trust anyone. I guess before we head off, we have to mention this a little bit. I personally... I think it's kind of laughable, but North Korea and a movie. Sony.
I can't believe they pulled a movie.
Who cares? It's
I know,
a movie.
But still. That's what I'm saying.
It's like there's people dying over the world and we're upset because they're pulling a movie.
And but it's all over news.
And,
now
the update is because apparently there were a lot of theaters in protest of this movie being pulled. They were going to have these little midnight screenings of the Team America movie.
I heard.
Now Paramount is going out and saying
that
they can't. No, we're not going to let y'all play these now. This has gotten ridiculous.
I agree with the. Here's the thing. It's like I agree with. I think it's stupid to pull it. At the same time, I think it was stupid to make it. So it's kind of like. Who cares?
Who cares if they don't?
What's the point? What are they achieving other than, listen, if you want proof that there's propaganda in your media, they're making a movie showing a guy getting assassinated. That's propaganda to train you to think, that's okay if we kill this guy. So in 2 months from now, Pete, there's a bullet through his brain. You're like, yep, that's all right. We can just kill people.
Yeah, well, they say in cyber warfare. It's the new thing.
Oh, my gosh. Listen. In America, the same job, they're called analysts. Or they're called an IT guy. But apparently, when it's in North Korea, they're called cyber warriors. That's what the news tells.
Well, I have to say that, hey.
Who cares?
Our country's being hacked by other countries every, our service.
It's about a movie!
But, no, I'm just saying, period. You know, like, hey, it's things I know, silk vicious, you know.
Hey, the only cyber warriors out there are anonymous, hands down. Let me get an amen on that.
Amen.
But, and that's what happens, Hey, what else are they, what else are they going to do? Tighten up on your security.
Right.
But I think that's the core of every cyber terrorist attack, at the very small foundation.
Attacking
attacking
the infrastructure of a nation is one thing, and attacking like Defense Department systems, we're talking about a movie company.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to our show tonight. We will be back next week. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. We're also with our co-host,
David Young.
We're also joined the studio tonight by
Shannon Madden.
Thank you so much. We'll see y'all next.
I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, through the stereo.